All right, so this is just like Spain. It's the story that we talked about in the interview. First time it happened, he was in the condo hallway, just after bolting the door behind him and pocketing the keys. It usually smelled like soup in his building this time of night, something heavy, onions or cabbage. Even though he was alone in the hall, he took a big, showy sniff. Spain, he said. His nostrils flexed and twitched theatrically. If someone opened the door, he wanted to be seen sniffing and twisting his neck around comically so that he might suddenly notice the neighbor and say, "What is that? Do you smell that? You know what it reminds me of?" He took off down the steps and into the early winter darkness where his wife, Carol, was waiting for him in the passenger seat of the running and heated car. Stewart continued to think about Spain even as he pulled into the Friday night traffic. "I'm thinking about Spain," he told Carol. "Oh? The way the light is now, kind of purplish as though it were midnight even though it isn't, that's how all the nights were in Spain. All the time? When I was there, and the traffic was like this too, in Madrid on the big streets. Only I was there once, Madrid. Mostly I lived in a little village called San Fernando, San Francisco. I can't remember anymore. Isn't that funny? Going on 10 years already. That's wild that I was there now and I can't even be sure of the name. Can we turn the radio on to an oldies station? I only listen to oldies in Spain because that's all they played on the radio station from an American military base. Okay, now concentrate on finding a space. Concentrate. Don't just wish for it." He found a tight spot a few blocks down and managed to squeeze in. Carol waited as Stewart inspected the inch of space between the cars in front and back and then came around to take her arm. "You know," he said, "this is the same temperature it was every day I was in Spain." She nodded. "It was just like this, dry and cold and a little breeze." He sniffed. "I swear I can feel the Mediterranean. That's weird how everything's reminding me of it. The light, too, just like Spain. The exact shade of yellow on all the streets. The same eerie kind of soft shadows, like a Cubist painting. I didn't see a lot of them when I was there, but Picasso was born there, or maybe he just lived there when he got rich. Also that weird guy, what do you call him, with all the melting watches, and whatchamacallem, he lived there." The restaurant was crowded. They stood in a throng at the bar and waited. She flipped through a free neighborhood newspaper that had been discarded by the door. He worked on a bowl of salsa, scooping large portions of it with triangle chips, using only the ones with bent corners. He started to laugh. "You know what, honey? 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 Honey?" She looked up from the paper with a blank expression. "The first time I tried to use Spanish on the metro, that's what they call the subway in Spain, I asked for, 10 old ladies instead of 10 trips. See, the words in Spanish are real similar, viajes and viajas. I can't remember which is which anymore, but oh boy, did I get some funny looks." When they were seated, he noticed that all the tables were close together. He chuckled and was about to say that this too reminded him of Spain, tables so close that he could be dining with strangers, but he decided against it. Carol ordered a fried vegetable plate as an appetizer, and he asked for another rum and coke. When the appetizer came, they ate off the serving platter, not bothering to use the little plates. When it was all gone, she said, "I love sweet potatoes." And he said, "Did we eat sweet potatoes?" "No, but the dish, not the dish, I mean the food, all those fried veggies. The last time I had something like that, it had sweet potatoes." The main course came and the waiter warned them that the bottoms of the plates were hot. They both nodded. A basket of warm French bread was put on the table, and as soon as the waiter left, Stewart pulled a fistful of bread off the loaf for himself. "Look at this. This is so Spanish." He waved the plug in front of her face, and she followed with her eyeballs. "This feels Spanish. A loaf of French bread, the polite waiter, the cramped tables." He couldn't resist adding that last one. "In Spain, you say garçon when you mean the waiter, but actually it means literally boy, not waiter," he told her. She nodded and took some French bread. When her mouth was full, she said, "That's actually French." When the last of the food was gone, he checked his watch. The movie didn't start for another half hour. They were right on schedule. This pleased him immensely. He waved his arm and caught the waiter's attention and made a writing motion with his hand and wrist. "Ha, ha, ha," he laughed. "This is too much. I know this is going to sound hard to believe, but I just asked for the bill the same way I always did in Spain." He shook his head. "Maybe I'm in Spain," he told her. "Where am I then?" she asked. "Spain. Spain too. Spain with me." The movie was lousy, a silly romance that they both couldn't stand. Stewart stayed with it because the female lead reminded him of another actress he really liked. On the way out, he walked by the concession stand. "No Toblerone," he pointed out. "That's what they always eat in movie theaters in." She cut him off. "Maybe we could travel somewhere," she said, pushing on the glass door. He answered quickly. It's a good idea. We haven't been anywhere since the retreat in Maine, and that was like 5 years ago already. Time really flies. I can't believe it's been 10 years since I went to Spain." "We can go somewhere romantic. I wonder if I still have my passport." "Mine's expired, I think." He unlocked the passenger door. "I only used it the once." The bedroom felt stuffy. He cracked the window, and she reciprocated by laying the comforter over the blanket. They got in bed and pulled the covers up. He turned off the light. "I don't know that we can go anywhere for too long about that vacation idea," he said. "I can't get more than a week off, and probably not more than a long weekend, like a Thursday and Friday with a Saturday and Sunday in the middle. We couldn't go too far, not that we could anyway with that time constraint, but money, too." She shifted on her side, moving her shoulders back and forth to get comfortable. "It's too bad we can't just get up and go like I did when I graduated from college and went to Spain." "Sweetheart," she said, "can you get me a glass of water?" He got up and went to the kitchen, filled a glass under the tap, and put an ice cube in it. He snuck a sip on the way back to the bedroom. "Thank you," she said, and took a few loud gulps. He could hear the water sloshing into her stomach as he got back into bed. "Here," she handed him the empty glass, which he put on the nightstand. "Don't just leave it here," she said. "Take it back to the sink, please, and rinse it out and put it in the dishwasher." He got up and rinsed the glass, but left it in the sink. When he walked back to the bedroom and got under the covers, she said, "Hey, do you want to?"
"Do you?"
"Why not?" she answered. "Movie, dinner, why not?"
"Okay."
"Do we have anything?" she asked. He sighed. "Well, just spoon me," she told him. He pressed his knee into the back of her knee. "Spoon me," she said, "all the way."
He hugged her and smelled her hair and closed his eyes.
"That's nice," she told him. "Thank you."
"De nada," he answered.
Her breathing got heavier. Stuart listened. He thought about the bullfighting ring, the one he had visited in Madrid. He pictured himself in the center, bowing low to the cheering crowds in the stands. The queen was watching from the royal box many rows up. The great bull charged, and Stuart sank his steel deep into the shoulders of the beast. The bull stumbled and fell, and when it was too weak to struggle, Stuart rushed in and cut off its ear. Following the tradition, he took the beret off his head and solemnly approached the front row. He handed his beret to a spectator, who passed it up to another, so that eventually it would reach the queen. Stuart watched his beret ascend the crowd slowly, waiting for the applause to die down, for the adulation of the crowd to subside, and for the long-awaited moment, sweet acknowledgement from the queen.